You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 16th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us. And look, hope you're staying safe. Hope you are safe and okay after the weather that moved through the area last night, that moved through the state last night. Talking with people all across the state and even in some neighboring states as well. And it got pretty nasty, but thankfully it doesn't sound like it got as nasty as they were projecting it to be in terms of like tornadoes and things. And so hopefully everyone that you know and are associated with is okay. Hope you're staying warm. It was raining and then it snowed for a minute and then it looks to be done here in Auburn. So, you know, something's going on. Mother Nature's not happy. And you would think she would be happy because I know Auburn fans are happy today. Congratulations, Auburn. You're back in the tournament. Back in the tournament are the Auburn Basketball Tigers. Not only are you back in the tournament, Christian Griffin, you're back-to-back number one overall seed, man.
Woo!
Man, happy Monday to that, right? Number one overall seed in the tournament.
I mean, you had Florida and UConn fighting for a number one seed like it's difficult or something.
Yeah. Auburn Man. Said, hold my beer, watch this. I'll show you what it takes to be the number one overall seed.
Mother Nature,
I figured there'd be a parade in the streets today.
Mother Nature said, whoa, 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 you think that is hard to do? Watch this. I'm going to put it 85 degrees yesterday, and you're going to have snow today. Watch this.
Yeah, this is some. This is like Ohio stuff that I dealt with when I was growing up. But I remember several times snowing in April when I was growing up, so...
That's so wild.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, happy Monday. How are you, man?
Yeah,
I mean, Auburn's number one overall seed.
I'm great, man. Dude, it's happy Monday. I mean, it feels like happy Friday here in the studio. It's hard to be much better. We are talking about that today. We are talking about the field of 68, and if only it was the field of 70. If only we had the expansion this year in the March Madness tournament. But then if that was the case, then we wouldn't be able to talk about the NIT this year,
Yeah. Which
is what we're going to also be talking about here on the show this afternoon. We'll be able to have, again, a dominant conversation, a dominant show with a lot of basketball conversations in there about Auburn not being in the field of 68, officially not making the NCAA March Madness tournament, but accepting their NIT, not only bid, but their host as well. We'll dive into both brackets here on the show, which is always something that you love to be able to do and to say that we are talking about both brackets here today. But then we are going to flip over at least a little bit and have a conversation on the good things in Auburn sports. Auburn baseball goes out and dominates Missouri, especially on the pitcher's mounds. My goodness. For those that have been here with us for long enough, you know that tomorrow is dominated by baseball and will be so to start the show, a fun show tomorrow. Maybe not as fun as we were projecting it to be, but still should be a really fun show tomorrow. But some things get flipped around time-wise, and so we will dominate baseball to start that show tomorrow. But, man, wanted to be able to talk generically, at least today, about what Auburn baseball was able to do in Columbia and how they basically won 2.5 pitchers duels until Auburn's bats really came to life in that seventh inning in Game 3. We also have some World Baseball Classic updates, and we might get into some spring football conversation as Auburn spring practice starts tomorrow, but That depends on what the phone lines sound like. And those are open today at 334-321-1390. Any thoughts on Auburn missing the tournament? Were they snubbed? Were you happy they're no longer in the tournament? Or are you happy that they are now back in to the tournament just a couple hours after not being selected for the play-in games and the total field of 68 teams? And so, again, all of that coming up here on the show today.
Yeah, give us a call. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. 1390. That's the call-in number. If you want to talk Auburn basketball missing the NCAA tournament, the big tournament, the actual tournament, or if you want to talk about Auburn accepting its bid to the NIT, the not-invited tournament, the not-interested tournament, the not-in-tournament tournament, whichever one you acronym you want to use, if you want to talk about Auburn being in that or just your overall thoughts on the tournament itself. 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text, as multiple people already have, at 334-784-1067. That is the On the Line at text box.
Do not, though, ask questions about our golf game.
Please don't. Yesterday was brutal. Yesterday made us put the bags away for a while.
Yesterday was the least fun I've had on a course since I graduated college.
Yeah, it was brutal. Thankfully, kind of, it was a group effort. And everybody played
there bad. It wasn't one person carrying the load of doing everything by themselves. And it wasn't even worth a scramble.
No.
It was, we're out here. All right, we're going to figure it out.
And we didn't. I didn't figure anything out. Well, that's not true. I got the driver figured out.
You did. We both did that. That was about the only thing we had.
Yeah. Not the like putting several balls right in the middle of the fairway only to still bogey the hole. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Not as fun as talking Auburn NIT, though. Because it is true. Auburn misses the NCAA tournament. First time since 2020. Year one under Stephen Pearl. He will not be in the NCAA tournament. The season's not done, though, and yes, we will get to that portion of the conversation. Two directions today, right? Direction one, right, exit to the left, is Auburn misses the NCAA tournament. Direction B, exit to the right, and continue driving, is Auburn in the NIT. And we need to start with Auburn not being in the NCAA tournament. Again, the first time since 2020 that you are not in the tournament. Year one under Stephen Pearl, the Tigers miss the big dance. They will not be involved in it. They were not included in it. They were considered the second team out of the field. And unfortunately, most people sat there yesterday. Most Auburn fans sat there yesterday evening watching the selection show, knowing what was going to happen, but still having a sliver of hope, right? We knew going into the SEC tournament that Auburn's chances of making the NCAA tournament were still slim. And we were hopeful that the SEC tournament results would impact what happened in the NCAA tournament selection show. Turns out we fooled ourselves because we knew that that is not the case. And there's another conference I want to talk about later that got the brute end of that, right? And reminded us that conference tournaments simply do not matter. But we knew Auburn's fate when they blew a 10-point lead to Tennessee. We knew it was over at that point. We knew that Auburn was not going to be in the NCAA tournament, but it still hurt to not see or hear Auburn's name called yesterday.
Doubling down, even sticking in the SEC tournament, even Oklahoma missing it goes to show you what getting hot looks like down the stretch, but still having a record look the way that it looks. Because Auburn and Oklahoma's record in the SEC was the exact same and overall looked pretty identical.
Yeah.
Yet Oklahoma was playing much better basketball and made it two more games than Auburn did. Or at least won another, played for another. But it didn't reward them in any way or and brings a whole lot of frustration. Again, the play-in games. Texas playing North Carolina State and Miami of Ohio playing SMU. Those are the four teams that were selected for those first play-in games. And it makes it a little confusing because we talked all week about, man, if the bubble teams could have done anything at all, it would have made it to where, okay, you understand some things, but the teams that were on the right side of the bubble kept winning. The teams on the wrong side of the bubble kept losing. Then all of a sudden you got to Sunday and the Nardi's over here saying, well, there's now eight teams that are going to compete for four spots. And it didn't really make a whole lot of sense. And as soon as you saw teams like Texas make the tournament over Auburn, even before Auburn had been announced, even though there were still two more teams to be announced, you figured Miami of Ohio would be one. And with Auburn being that second team out in a lot of these brackets, you felt as if they weren't going to get that final spot. Texas was kind of that final blow that we were sitting there talking about. As soon as you saw their logo pop up, that was kind of the realization of, yeah, this is over.
Yeah, and again, there's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of fans who wanted Auburn to be in it. There's a lot of fans that didn't want Auburn to be in it. And curious on if fans feel if Auburn got snubbed or not. Should Auburn been in the tournament? Should Auburn have been selected to make the NCAA tournament? We want to hear your thoughts.
And it's a tale as old as time, as we've talked about on this show, a tale of completely two different halves, a completely different tale of stories, and we're going to dive into both sides of the storylines here in just a moment.
Yeah. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Let's get to it now. Ed, you're on the line, my man. What's going on?
I'm fine. How you doing? Hey, listen, I think you know before I say, but absolutely, unequivocally, Auburn did not deserve to be in this tournament. Absolutely not. And when you mention about Tennessee, no, they didn't deserve to be in this tournament when they lost to Ole Miss. We are different ages, but I don't know any Auburn people that were sitting on their edges of their seats thinking or hoping, watching about the selection. I'm not saying that you don't know some people that were, but I don't know anybody that was. Everybody that I know pretty much is sick of this team, sick of watching what happened this year, sick of watching the pathetic play that team put out on the field. And you know, the players, there's no personality. There's nothing. There's no vibe. There's no anything for a fan to attach to. And don't ask me about it. You look at the attendance going down and how everybody noticed that, hey, Neville Arena's not anything to be scared of anymore. That happened this year. And I know Steve Pearl's getting another year, and everybody said, well, let's just see what he does. Well, what's he done so far as recruiting? Last thing, I know you don't Bama's got several recruits already lined up. Who does Stephen Pearl have lined up right now for next year? Can you tell me?
There is one player.
Who's he got committed? This really significant.
Pulling it up right now. I know there is one player who. Apologies, I cannot remember.
The guard, right?
I cannot remember his name, but he has signed with Auburn.
One player, and the fact that you and I don't know who he is and his name or everything else pretty much says it. And Bama's got players. It's not going to get for Auburn people. I'm telling just you two, and I appreciate y'all, you know, listening to me and giving my opinion. But it's not going to get any better next year. It will not. It will not. And you watch it. And I don't. I hope they don't even go to the NIT, because I don't know anybody that wants to see this team on the court again.
Well, I've got bad news for you in particular, Ed. Auburn's already accepted the NIT bid. They're going to host a game tomorrow night at 9:00 in Neville Arena.
Well, I'll be. And what's that going to prove? What is that going to prove? You're in the frigging NIT. That's for the nobodies. That is not for the Auburns of the world. That's a two-bit tournament. And if you won the whole tournament, you haven't won nothing. But I'm sure their first opponent will be – who is their first opponent? They'll probably beat whoever their first opponent, because you're looking at second-tier teams throughout the NIT.
It is the Jaguars of South Alabama, Ed.
Okay, well, let's all make that up like that's a big thing. Oh, goodness gracious.
And then the
Auburn, if Auburn beats South Alabama, who knows what they could have done in the NCAA tournament. Guess what they'd have done in the NCAA tournament? Not a dang thing, fellas. Not anything. They're a pathetic team. They are pathetically coached. They have no dadgum energy on the court. There's nothing for fans to pull for. And I hope I am wrong on what I just said about next year. I really do hope that this has been, you know, a time that, and it won't be the first time I've been wrong, but I'll tell you one thing, I've been right a whole heck of a lot more than I've been wrong when I've looked at something and seen something.
I hear
and
you.
There's nothing right about the Auburn basketball program at this moment. Thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Ed. Getting us started. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open. We want more of your calls, your thoughts on Auburn basketball. Again, missing the NCAA tournament, accepting the bid to the NIT. We're going to talk the NIT. I promise we're going to talk about that. But look, to Ed's point, I agree with him going back to the very beginning of his call. Auburn did not deserve to be in the NCAA tournament. Some may agree, some may disagree. Auburn did not deserve to be selected yesterday. Did I have a sliver of hope? Yes. Did I have a sliver of thought that the tournament committee would put Auburn in anyways? Yes, because of recency bias and branding and logo and things like that, and because of what happened around them? Yeah, absolutely. But to Ed's point, and he's spot on, it wasn't the 10, and this isn't what we were saying, but I'm glad he clarified. Losing to Tennessee was not the point where we thought Auburn lost it. He's right. The loss to Ole Miss is what did it.
Very much so.
Losing at home to that crappy Ole Miss team, that's what put the nail in the coffin and said, you're done, you're out. That's when the tournament committee wrote Auburn off and never looked back.
And I think the numbers, too, dive into a little bit of the hope, right? I mean, we see what Lenardi says, but he judges off of vibes and what he thinks is going to happen. Committee doesn't always do that, and you were hoping that some of the numbers side of things would almost give Auburn a little bit of a bid, whether that was to our cheerings or whether that was to just the weak bubble that is competing right now. But again, it is a two-sided issue, and you feel like you're diving into a little bit of everything. But it was the Ole Miss game that really put the nail in the coffin, and it's so crazy to think about, because the first side of this is just the idea that there were so many outcomes this year that if you change one of them, there's no questions.
Yeah,
and Ole Miss is one of those, and Ole Miss was the final one that happens. Georgia in overtime. The Texas A&M ending, which is what it is based off of they're saying the three didn't leave Keyshawn Murphy's hands in time. Alabama with Bediako. Did the committee base anything off of the loss at home inside Neville Arena because of Bediako's 12-5 when you lose by 4? Does that have any sort of say to it? If you don't let Josh Hubbard go off for a career high at their place in the hump, if you beat Ole Miss at home, and then if you don't crumble in the final 12 minutes against Tennessee, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different games, different outcomes that you had in your season, where if one of them you handled the correct way, you get in without question. And that's just one side of the equation.
Yeah, and to a texter's point before we get to break, and we're going to get to Spectre on the other side on the phone lines, the loss to Ole Miss hurt, but they looked pretty darn good in Nashville
this
past
week. They did, very much so, yeah.
But I don't care. I don't care. I don't care that Ole Miss made a run to the weekend. Doesn't change anything about it, because they had not hit their stride when they beat Auburn. They did not play Auburn like they played in Nashville this past week.
They also hadn't won a game in 10 games, and you went to your place.
Correct. Correct. I get that Ole Miss ended up probably being better than their record showed, But that's the issue, is everything going into that game, they had nothing to play for. You had everything to play for, and yet you still let them dominate you. That's the problem.
Yeah. I would like to hit some of the numbers, though, when we come back after we get to Spectre, just diving into the slimmer of hope that we thought could have put Auburn into the tournament and what the realization could be for the next couple of years in non-conference play.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as we're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Give us a call with your thoughts on Auburn missing the NCAA tournament but accepting the bid to the NIT. 334-321-1390. We're back right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We know you've got thoughts on Auburn basketball missing the NCAA tournament, but still being in postseason play as they have accepted a bid to host the NIT tournament. Not all the games, but be a host in the NIT. So give us a call. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And we go to the phone lines once again. Spectre, you're on the line, my man. We appreciate you holding on through the break. Your thoughts on everything going on?
Well, I'm not too sad about the NIT. I mean, I look at it in a different way. You know, like in football, you always want a New Year's Eve bowl game, but if you don't get one, you end up going somewhere else. So that's the way I look at the NIT. We're going somewhere else.
Okay.
You know, we used to live in the NIT back in the 80s, and I think a couple of times in the 90s, 2003, 2004, somewhere in there. I think altogether, this is our seventh appearance in the NIT. So it's not unusual, and it's not surprising to Auburn fans. I mean, some people look at it like it's a death sentence, but, you know, it's got some benefit. Yeah, benefits to it. I mean, you get to play some more, get to practice and stuff like that.
It is interesting that you say that, Spectre, because a team that I talk a lot about in terms of NIT from last year to then having success is Mike White in Georgia. They made it to the Final Four in the NIT, and although they didn't look at that, and yes, that hasn't been a program that's has been as successful over the past couple of years. The jump that they have made since that, and then again making their way back into March, or 2 years ago, apologies. They've made the tournament the past 2 years, but you're seeing the benefits from that side of things with the guys that they've been able to retain. I think a little bit of the frustration is different for Auburn just because you have a lot of the guys that are not coming back.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to see the champion of the NIT play the champion of the March Madness.
That'd be cool.
I thought about that. Or the Final Four or the championship game gets brought into almost like the loser's bracket. You win that and get brought up into the winner's bracket, and they make it to the Sweet 16 or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. That'd be interesting to watch.
Yeah, something.
Anyway, I'm trying to warm up now. Man, this is some crazy weather, ain't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's wild stuff. Be safe out there, Spectre.
Yeah, my cherry tree's blooming, and I don't know if it's going to last through the night, though.
Yeah, just get shocked and hard to recover after that.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Appreciate it, Spectre. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for holding on through the break as well. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open, and so is the text box, and I want to read a few things from there as we continue on. Our guy Eric in Auburn has several things that he is saying, and I want to read some of these.
Hey, President.
He said, yes, sorry. Hello, Mr. President. Yeah, dude. Yeah, we really got to get that on a hockey.
We're going to play you a bunch of copyright-free audio, and we get to play that on a hotkey.
He says, Auburn does not deserve to be in. But he said, but the rationale was weak. One game over 500, 16 losses, yada, yada. He said, what were SMU's big wins? What about Miami of Ohio beating nobody? What about Texas? Either trust the analytics or don't,
yeah,
is what he says. He also says that Bruce's comments and posts didn't help. I don't think Auburn's graphics over the last week have helped themselves either.
Food for thought.
Yeah. Battle till the end. He says this also, and this is the one right here. This is so good. This is so good from Eric. He says, this feels like Auburn football. We argue about fairness and cheating, but the truth is simple. We weren't good enough. Example, the Oklahoma game. You got hosed on a cheating on a play that shouldn't have counted, but you weren't good enough to win the game.
You even took the lead.
You got hosed in the A&M game. You got hosed in the Georgia game. You had things go against you that you complained about until you were blue in the face, purple in the face, whatever. But yet, the fact of the matter was you weren't good enough to win those games anyway. It's the same thing for Auburn basketball with all these arguments on whether they should or should not have been into the NCAA tournament, right? You beat Ole Miss, you don't have to worry about Texas or Miami of Ohio or SMU, who, by the way, should not be in the NCAA tournament. That is a joke, and we'll get to that at some point.
Yeah, I was going to say, their tweets. People have been very quick to harp on Auburn via Twitter. Have you seen a bunch of those tweets?
Oh, yeah.
With SMU. Yeah. And UMBC all going out and saying, you know, thankfully we don't need somebody like last name Pearl to get into the tournament.
Which, you know what? Auburn should expect it. You went from Final Four to NIT.
Yeah.
You deserve all of the criticism in the world. But, again, to Eric's point, you beat Ole Miss, you don't have to worry about that. You beat Texas A&M without having to hit a half-court shot from Keyshawn Murphy, you don't have to worry about that. You beat Alabama on your home floor, you don't have to worry about that. You could complain about all these factors, and yeah, but, or you could just accept the fact that you weren't good enough to make the NCAA tournament. It's as simple as that. He says, at what point can we build a program that answers adversity with grit?
It's what Alex Golish is preaching.
A lot of pressure on that guy.
Very, very unwarranted, but spring ball starts tomorrow, and you feel like there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, he says you can't. He says he agrees with the analytics side, which we're going to get to when we come back. But he says this, and I agree. He says either use the analytics or don't. Don't cherry pick them. We'll talk about that more. And Auburn accepting the NIT bid. Lots more thoughts when we come back.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us here on ESPN 106.7. And phone lines are open if you have thoughts on Auburn missing the NCAA tournament but accepting their bid to the NIT. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Several of you have called already. We want to hear more from you. Again, 334-321-1390. Or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And with this being tournament week, and yeah, for the first time in my radio career, we're talking about the NCAA tournament and the NIT. The not-invited tournament, the not-interested tournament, the not-in tournament, whichever one, again, you want to use. Those are the three I know of for sure. I don't know if you have any others, but...
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, we're talking about both. I mean, we're just extending our... We're extending our range. We are broadening
We're expanding our bracket show.
Yeah. And we're going to be on location this week to talk about that. Kind of. No, we are tipping off the tourney once again this year. Very excited about this. Hopefully, you've heard some of the promos already. We had one run just a couple of minutes ago. But we are tipping off the tourney because the NCAA tournament tips off this week. And for the third year in a row, ESPN 106.7 will be live on location this Friday, March 20th at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge at Midtown. Okay, it's brought to you once again by our friends at Sensegreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. For air that's cool and clean, get HVAC smart and call Sensegreen. Join us for 7 straight hours of tournament coverage. That's right. 7 straight hours. All 3 local shows are going to be at Auburn Plaza Bar this Friday. Starting at 11 a.m., with the Max Roundtable, followed by us on the line from 2 to 4, and the drive from 4 to 6. Stop by for great giveaways from Cinta Green and ESPN 106.7, drink specials from Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, and a good time for everyone. Make sure to join us. That's this Friday at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge as ESPN 106.7 will be live to tip off the tourney, brought to you by Cinta Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. So we're very excited to be going back there. We always have a good time at Auburn Plaza Bar. Knock on wood, at least for now, the weather's supposed to be nice. It will not be chilly like it is today. This is only supposed to be today and tomorrow. It's supposed to get out of here. The weather is supposed to be nice. If so, we'll be set up outside. We'll have all sorts of stuff going on, and all the games will be played. We'll be talking about the NCAA tournament and whatever Auburn's case is, and the NIT, if that's still going on at that point. So even though Auburn is not in the big tournament, we're still going to have a ton of fun talking about the NCAA tournament. So that's this Friday on location. All three local shows from 11 to 6 at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. And again, it's brought to you by Cinta Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation.
They're not in the big tournament?
I mean, there's no tournament bigger than the NIT. Doesn't get bigger.
There's only
than that.
One tournament that allows extra home games.
Well, you know, the NCAA women's tournament plays games at home. They have games played in home gyms, which I think would be awesome if
Hold
you did
on.
That for the men's tournament.
Just while we're here.
Oh, gosh.
What is the quad system once again? 30, 50, 75?
Yeah, top 30. It's got to be a top 30 net team at home, top 50 net team neutral site, top 75 net team on the road.
So for all home games,
30,
is it?
Top 30.
That's for quad one. Mm-hmm. What does quad two go to?
I think it's top 50.
That's what I
think so. I think it's a top 50 team at home. I think it's the same numbers. I think it's set up the same way. I think.
Home is quad two is 31 to 75. Okay, here we go.
Oh, it's 31 to 75.
It
okay.
is, yes. Quad three is 76 to 160. And then quad four is 161 to 353.
For games at home.
For games at home.
Oh, I know
so
where
Auburn's
you're going.
So first round game against South Alabama in the NIT is a quad four game.
Woo! Yeah, baby. Oh, to Ed's God. Point, though, who called in earlier, what do you get for the end? And we're going to get into that here in just a moment.
Hold on. What's so South Alabama is 187th in the quad.
In the net.
Or in the net. Here is,
I don't think they've played a team in the top 100 all season long.
They don't have a quad one game. Seattle University is who we could possibly play in the second rounds. That would be
Seattle or St. Thomas, yeah. Minnesota.
So Seattle University is
Minnesota!
Just is just barely in the quad three.
Also, I'm getting a weather report, by the way, from
not
James Spann, but somebody just as good. Sunny and 75 on Friday is the projected weather, so come out and join us.
St. Thomas is 0-1 in quad one games playing St. Mary's. They are 103rd in the net. So, do you hear me on that? St. Thomas is 103rd in the net. So,
Wow. Another
that's a middle quad three game. That's about Mississippi State right there.
Oh, God.
So,
do they have a Josh Hubbard too?
Probably so, considering they're 0-3 combined in quad one and quad two games.
Jesus.
So.
Oh, God.
We're going to dive into that. We're going to get to the phone lines here in just a moment as well. But answering your point before we dive into some of the numbers and then talk the NIT, Auburn has set themselves up to where if they do not go and win the whole thing, you're almost setting yourself up for public humiliation.
But again, if you win it,
you don't get anything.
Who cares?
If you win anything, you almost also get set up for public humiliation. Which again, that's not a soft mentality. No.
No, it's not at all. Auburn is better than that.
What?
As a program. Not this team, but this program. The standard has exceeded the NIT. Okay? The standard 15, 20, 30 years ago, yeah, NIT was a blast because Auburn never even sniffed the NCAA tournament but once every decade, making the NIT, yeah, it was cool to play an extra game in the Coliseum. Whoop-de-doo. Auburn is past that now. We've talked about this. How much have we talked about it, that the standard for Auburn basketball, minimum year in and year out, is the NCAA tournament. That has changed since Bruce Pearl was hired.
Yeah.
That has changed. That we have elevated that, right? We've changed that. There should not be a celebration for being in the NIT. I'm sorry. I'm not going to go that far. Not anymore. 20 years ago? Sure. Absolutely. Not in 2026. I can't get behind it. I can't support it.
The numbers and the analytics, which Eric was getting to at the end of last break, saying either use them or don't use them, is where we want to go next. But first, we get to the phone lines.
Yeah, let's get to the phone lines. 334-321-1390. John, you're on the line. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple things real quick. I disagree on NIT. Normally, I would agree with you, and it depends on the young players. A lot of those young players are coming back. I would play every one of them and leave the two Keyshawns back behind and don't even dress them out. And just play you. And if DeHaan's not coming back next year, don't play him. Play the kids that are coming back and let them get some time on the court. A lot of them did not see the court.
Mm-hmm.
And even those guys should be able to beat South Alabama. But I would get in the extra time with young players and give them a reason to want to come back. But that's just my thought. And I went to games that I saw the very first game at the Coliseum. I was there for Bill Lynn and Bob Davis.
Nice.
You know, Sonny, Tommy Joe.
Yeah.
I've been through them all. And like, hell, half the time we couldn't get into a tournament because we're on probation. But that's just my thought. I think you play the young kids, give them as much work, much court time as you possibly can. And the other thing I want to ask Jacob, because you probably know better than anybody around, Auburn's biggest problem to me in the last several years, since Jared Harper, we've not had a two-point guard. And I think you covered a kid this year that's not Auburn's prototypical point guard. He's bigger, but 6'6", plays defense, got a great head on his shoulders, and I think would be an outstanding point guard for Auburn, but they're not recruiting him, and that's Antoine.
Yeah. Oh, did I lose you there at the end, John? Are you still there?
I hear you.
Now, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, I got you now. Yeah, you cut out right there. You had said Antoine, and then you'd cut out on me.
Yeah, well, Antoine Daniels, I think, is a definitely SEC-caliber player, and he is a great kid. He's a legacy. You know, sister's on the girls and the women's team.
Mm-hmm.
His dad's on the bench. You could probably get him there just for the NIL deal, not even take a scholarship. But I think he is going to be a great college player, and I just don't understand why Auburn's not pursuing him at all.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're spot on with that. John, we appreciate the call. We're going to address what you had to say, okay?
Yes, sir.
John, appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. Two things there. I'll address the Antoine Daniels thing first. Yes. Antoine Daniels is a fantastic basketball player. He's a great kid, comes from a great family, and as he mentioned, dad's on the coaching staff at AU. Sister, of course, has been playing for the women's team for the last 2 years. And at 6'6", and his size, 6'6", 200 pounds, 200 plus, is Antoine Daniels. He is definitely D1, P5, good enough, in my opinion. There's been a lot of weird things happening in his recruitment, and the fact that it's still open right now for a guy that shoots it the way he does, handles the basketball the way he does.
And just the frame and athleticism.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you saw him in person. You got to see him twice, Christian, when Lee Scott played Auburn High, and I've called that guy's games for
years.
Was
it twice?
I only remember the one, but I mean, he's absolutely good enough to play at that level. And look, 15 years ago, you'd look at 6'6 and say, okay, that's like a three. Like, that's a small forward. But with how the game has developed, 6'6 is a point guard size. I mean, look at a guy like KO. KO's 6'5. Tahad's a small point guard at 6'1, right? You look at the guys in the NBA, they are 6'5", 6'6", playing point guard. I think Antoine's absolutely good enough. There's a lot there that is not with Antoine. I'm talking with his recruitment. It's upsetting to me, but he's going to land somewhere. And teams around will be disappointed that they didn't get him. And I think there's some baseball in there, too, because he's a darn good center fielder, and his bat has really come alive. And shout out to Antoine, by the way, playing in the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star basketball game this last weekend. He was not there for baseball for that. So, yeah, I'm with you on that, John, with Antoine. Even if it's not Auburn, he's going to land somewhere, and he's gonna prove himself, and very excited for him. But with the NIT, right, and we're going to get to that, I know, deeply, that mindset of accept the bid, play the young guys, and build for next year, it's an old mindset. And it only applies to certain teams, certain rosters. And this Auburn roster just doesn't fit that mold. Because of a lot of the young guys, Cade Magwood, he's non-existent, didn't play, right? Was not playing down the stretch. Simon Walker was never 100%, didn't play down the stretch, right? You look at Emeka Opurum, he didn't play as a sophomore because of health reasons, right? Blake is a junior, but are you really going to accept the NIT bid for one guard in his role, right? You look at Phillip, okay, he's a young guy who played. You could use the experience there. And then Sway and Elijah. We don't know the status on them. We don't know if they're coming back or not.
Yeah.
Those are conversations.
Bashir in there as well, but that's also because of injury.
Correct. Well, that was kind of my point, is a lot of the young guys that you would play didn't because of injury, health reasons, or whatever. You're down to a – you can't say, Tahad, Keyshawn Hall, Keyshawn Murphy, Kevin Overton, no thanks. You're going to sit on the bench. We're just going to – you have three guys that you could play if you did that.
I will say, and there have been some rumblings – and if they are correct, then I'll take back a lot of the statements, because if the rumblings are right that we have heard that the players have asked Stephen Pearl that they want to play in this tournament, then I think there's not really anything negative to continue to harp on. But again, that's all just rumblings right now. If that is the case, then so be it. I'll swallow the pride side of things to go watch these kids if they truly chose to go out and want to play in this tournament. But again, I still double down with the fact of you're going to play a lot of these teams that are quad three, quad four type of games, quad two games, even if you go to a neutral site, to where if you don't win the whole thing, you set yourself up publicly, which again, I understand you don't make decisions based off of what social media has to say, but just one of those looks that you don't feel like goes in favor of what Auburn is hoping for.
Stephen Pearl met with the media about 30 minutes ago. A couple of quotes coming out of that we'll read when we get back about the NIT, about missing the NCAA tournament and why they are doing that. We'll talk about that and wrap up hour number one with those discussions right after this here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrap it up. Hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. More conversations on Auburn basketball, missing the NCAA tournament but accepting the NIT bid. This will carry in to hour number two. We'll also talk about some Auburn baseball things and other sports stuff going on. And Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us as well. But some of the analytic things that we wanted to dive into here at the end of the hour on why Auburn ultimately missed the NCAA tournament, but also an argument on why Auburn very well could have been in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, one of those things of you heard a lot of that pick up as of late on the strength of schedule, the KenPom and things like that. And Clark Kellogg even said it on the national broadcast of these teams and this committee ultimately look at what the record is. And I feel like that's a quote that you think a lot of teams are possibly going to look at in the future. Bruce Pearl even said it after Auburn was not selected, said that, quote, they played the toughest schedule in the country, and I don't know if they got rewarded for it. And I think that is a very accurate statement, because they obviously didn't get rewarded. And that's taking the emotions of what I think or what we think should or should not have happened. Auburn played, again, one of the toughest schedules, if not the toughest schedule in all of college basketball. And I think that brings up a conversation for the future of what non-conference play is going to look like, because if you are the Auburn Tigers, if this past year you kept the NIL players era, because that's a very cool opportunity, you're not going to pass up on one of those November feast week type of tournaments. But if you skip out on Houston, Arizona, and Purdue, and you play three more teams like Queens, who you played as your final tune-up game. By the way, Queens is in the basketball, in March Madness. Queens is in the NCAA tournament, who you beat 106-65, by the way, again, over Christmas break. But if you play three more teams like Queens, all of a sudden you go from 17-16 to 20-13. Is that right? Math, right? Yeah. Instead of 17-16, you are 20-13. If just by doing that, and instead of 4-11 in quad one games, you're then 4-8 or whatever the case may be, I don't think there's a question on whether or not Auburn is in or out. I don't even think they're in a play-in game. I think you're looking at an 8 or a 9 seed.
I agree. My pushback, and I know you're in this boat too, depending on what angle and perspective that we take, right? And that is something to highlight here. There are different ways to look at this. There's different ways to skin a cat, right? That's what they say. That's all fine and dandy, but again, don't lose the games that matter.
Sure.
Right? And that's there's several ways to look at it, but I totally agree.
I'm taking emotions completely out of it on just non-conference analytics. If Auburn didn't play those and they dropped to the 25th strength of schedule, you wouldn't have that argument to try and hold over everybody's head, but you'd have three more wins to where then the argument of, well, this committee looks at your overall record, that takes that completely away.
Yeah, and what is unfortunate is what you alluded to is this will most likely change scheduling moving forward. But let's remind people why Auburn did play Houston in the NIL tournament and NC State.
Well, Houston
and
was
Arizona
in Birmingham. That's what I excluded the NIL tournament.
Oh, I'm saying that's why you play all these games regardless.
Right.
I'm saying all of the games. You play these because when Bruce Pearl was still coaching at the time, the committee rewarded you for playing those games. They have since gone away from that idea to an extent. I don't think it's completely irrelevant anymore.
You have to now at least,
you got to back it up,
be competitive and win some of them.
You have to back it up.
Yeah.
You can't just say, well, we played the best teams in the country, we lost, right? But also, you have to, you got to win your SEC games. At the end of the day, conference play is still the most important. You had a road game at Missouri that you lost. You win that, you're in the tournament. Your home game against Texas A&M, you win that, you're in the tournament. That road game against Georgia where you fell apart, you win that, you're in the tournament. One of the four most important games of the season that we talked about, all in a row, Tennessee, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Arkansas. You win one of those games, you're in the tournament. Don't lose on the road in Stark Vegas. Don't lose on the road to Oklahoma. Don't lose at home against Ole Miss. One of those games goes your way, you're in the tournament.
And this is not just a, gosh darn it, if one of those things would have gone right, because the A&M game is obviously one that brings up a lot of emotion because of the final play. Let us remind you, Auburn was up 16 at that game.
Correct. And somebody texted in, this is a good way to end it on this conversation, says, I don't think Auburn's non-conference schedule is what hurt them. I think their conference record is what got them.
Sure.
And I agree. Again, you can play the toughest or easiest schedule in non-con, but you've got to back it up one way or the other, and that's why Auburn missed the NCAA tournament. But don't worry, they're in the NIT. How exciting is that? We'll talk about why they did it. We'll tell you what Stephen Pearl said about it as well. All that coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7.
ESPNAU.com and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 1067. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 1067, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two. During On the Line on ESPN 1067. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this Monday afternoon, a chilly Monday afternoon. The weather's going to move out here in the next couple of days, but my goodness, it is chilly for now. But hour number one is in the books. It flew by. We talked all things Auburn basketball. We will continue to do that here in hour number two, talking about the Tigers missing the NCAA tournament, but accepting the NIT bid. We're going to hit on the NIT stuff here in hour number two, but all of hour one was dominated by the Tigers missing the NCAA tournament, being the second team out of the field. A lot of your reactions, a lot of people's opinions in there as well, some good conversation as well. So if you missed it in the first 60 minutes, you can always go back and listen to the show as a podcast version. If you ever miss it, you could check it out wherever you get your podcast, or you could check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, Auburn's not big dancing, but they are still dancing. We get to dive into the conversation about the NIT tournament, what the bracket looks like for the Auburn Tigers, and some of the teams that they could play. We'll continue that conversation here in hour number two. We'll also have a brief conversation on Auburn baseball as well, as they start 3-0. Completely different side of the spectrum for Auburn baseball and Butch Thompson, as they are in front. They're leading the pack in the SEC standings right now following the sweep against Missouri. We'll talk more generically on that side of things, but we'll have a cool conversation on just what a sweep means in the Southeastern Conference, how important that is, as you were not only handled business on the road, you stole another game and then stole another game. And so what that could mean just for your SEC standings as a whole. And then we'll get to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network at 3:30. He's going to join us to talk a little bit more about the entire conversation that we have had today of Auburn basketball, Auburn baseball, Auburn spring practice on the football side of things, getting started tomorrow afternoon, or tomorrow morning rather, earlier tomorrow morning. All of that's coming up here in hour number two.
Yeah, so a lot to get to. Phone lines are still open if you want to be a part of the show. Let us know your thoughts on Auburn basketball missing the NCAA tournament but accepting the bid to the NIT. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number, or you could shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And we focus on the NIT perspective today. We'll talk more about it a little bit tomorrow as well. Not long tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll have a game breakdown tomorrow.
When? Based off what we've talked about for the show, tomorrow was supposed to be baseball on our NCAA tournament bracket show. We're keeping it that way. I don't care. We're keeping it that way. Anyway, here's some descriptions.
You don't want to learn the entire roster of the Jaguars and talk about the keys to victory?
No, I don't. You can. If you'd like to do that, I'll take the day off, and I will let you a two-hour breakdown of Auburn and South Alabama.
Round one of the NIT, and just an overall. We're doing our bracket prediction tomorrow.
I would pay.
We didn't tell you which one.
I'd be willing to bet that most people, myself included, could not name four other teams in the NCAA or in the NIT tournament not named Auburn and South Alabama. Without looking at it, I have it pulled up on a different tab on my computer.
I could have told you just because of Seattle and St. Thomas.
Yeah, I probably should say not in Auburn's portion. So not sure. The three teams that Auburn could play. Name me four other teams in the NIT tournament.
I know of Yale.
Are they seriously in it?
Yale is in it. That Murray State is in it.
There's another P5 team in there somewhere.
You want me to read all of them for you real fast?
all the teams?
Yep.
No.
It takes all of 15 seconds.
I think that's 15 seconds wasted.
Auburn, Bradley, Cal, Colorado State, Davidson, Dayton, George Mason, George Washington, Illinois State, Liberty, Kent State, Murray State, Navy, Nevada, New Mexico, Oklahoma State, St. Joseph, St. Houston, Seattle, St. Thomas, Stephen F. Austin, South Alabama, Tulsa, Ohio Valley, UC Irvine, UIC, UNCW, UNLV, Wake Forest, Wichita State, Wyoming, and Yale.
That's horrible.
Oh, what are you looking for?
I have nothing good enough as a hotkey to play.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Womp womp. That's what I would play. Something like that.
Yeah, those are the legitimate teams in the NIT this year. Five of them are abbreviations that, with all due respect, I don't know who they are.
My Flyers are in there, baby. Go, go, Dayton Flyers.
If it helps.
About accurate for them.
The NIT, I believe, is like 30 minutes down the road from the Final Four, so... And the weekend before.
Where is the Final Four this year?
Indianapolis. It's at Lucas
Oil.
Oh,
is it really?
Yeah.
NIT's played at Cambridge.
Yeah.
The final couple of games
are
played
so
there.
So they're right next to each other.
Huh. How about
the
that?
Only difference is the NIT tournament is the weekend before.
Well, the other difference is people will watch the actual NCAA Final Four. People will care about the NCAA Final
Some
Four.
Some people will care for the NIT for other reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what the difference is in that discussion. Sports betting, ladies and gentlemen.
How much money's being thrown on Auburn to win the whole thing right now.
What's their odds to win it? They should be overwhelming favorites to win, which goes to show how ridiculous it is, as we finally get into discussions 8 minutes into the second hour, how ridiculous it is that Auburn accepted this NIT bid. I cannot get behind it. I can't. I don't see, for this Auburn team in particular, I don't see the benefits. The idea that Oklahoma declined it, someone said Auburn better hope they don't catch Stephen F. Austin in the NIT. Watch out. Better not catch those Dayton Flyers, baby.
Take it back to
Murray State. I saw some people talking about that, Auburn and Murray State getting to play because
they don't have John Morant, though. Same thing with Stephen F. Austin. What was it? Was it Alex Caruso's Texas A&M team that came back?
Yeah. Is that right? I think so. I mean, you're in here with UC Irvine, George Washington. We got presidents in this thing, man. What are we doing? Utah Valley. This is the tournament. Getting a text saying Auburn is a 17.5 point favorite against South Alabama tomorrow night. God, what are we doing? What, I mean, again, here's my take on this. I think it's ridiculous that Auburn is in the NIT. Stephen Pearl has some quotes that we're going to talk about in just a moment. I just don't see the reason. I don't see the benefits from it. Right? If Auburn had a young group of kids coming back, and they might, okay, you could have Sway come back. You could have Elijah Freeman come back. You could have Filip Jovic come back. You could have Cade Magwood come back. You could have Emeka Opurim come back. You could have Bashir come back. All those guys could come back. Or they could not. Right? They could not. Those conversations, according to Stephen Pearl, have not happened yet. And since the season is extended by however many days or weeks, they're probably not going to have those conversations. But the problem is, most of those kids that I just named, half of them aren't even going to play in the NIT games because they're injured or not well, right? They've had illness problems, Emeka Opurim, or whatever the case may be. In this era of college basketball, with the transfer portal being what it is, when 75 to 80% of your roster changes year over year, the NIT has become wasteful for power conference teams like Auburn. In my opinion.
Until it comes to a point where you have contracts of a 2-year deal, 3-year option.
Yeah.
If you hit that and you knew that every single freshman was coming back and you knew that every single guy that hit the transfer portal that wasn't graduating could come back, I think that brings a completely different conversation.
The only benefit, and again, I don't think it makes any logical sense for Auburn to accept this NIT bid congratulations, you get to host a game in Neville Arena. It's a Tuesday night against South Alabama at 9 o'clock, where it's $25 a head to get in the building. A family of four
and
has to take...
And 25 degrees.
A family of four has to take a $100 bill in today's economy, a $100 bill to get in the building tomorrow night.
When instead you could have gone to certain games in the SEC tournament in Nashville for like $4.
That, believe it or not, mattered more.
Yeah.
For a tournament that also didn't matter, those games meant more than what tomorrow means. The only benefit that I can see, other than maybe getting some guys some playing time, but again, even with that, the young guys that actually made contributions to this team have already been playing, and again, Cade Magwood hasn't seen the floor in 2 months. He hasn't even taken his shooting pants off, right? Filip Jovic and Elijah Freeman are the only two in Sway. Those are the three. What are you going to do? Start them? Cool. What does that get you? What does that get you against a team you're favored by 17.5 points? What does it get you to host Seattle on a Friday or Saturday inside Neville Arena? What does that really do for you? The only benefit I can see is to get Stephen Pearl, a year one head coach, more games under his belt.
I think that's been a big conversation on social media. Yeah, as to,
and I haven't even seen that. That's the only thing I could think of last night when it came across was, yeah, okay, get him three or four more games of head coaching experience. Because anything at this point is good for not him in particular. I'm talking a year one
head coach.
Yeah.
Regardless of location, regardless of logos.
But I'm not buying let's build for next year,
yeah,
by playing in the NIT. I'm not buying that because it's not true.
Thankfully, though, you'll be able to go to baseball if you want to and then the NIT tournament.
Yeah. Baseball got moved up because of weather. It actually did. It actually did get moved
it
up.
It did, just
conveniently went right aligned, right? But no, baseball did get moved up tomorrow to 4 o'clock because it's supposed to be freezing.
For, again, we'll dive into this more tomorrow, but what is arguably the biggest game of the year so far?
Top five matchup at Plainsman Park tomorrow.
This is number 3 versus number 5. Georgia Tech's the 3rd-ranked team in the country. And then you welcome in the number 2-ranked team in the country in the Texas Longhorns this weekend.
Very excited for that.
This is a huge week for Auburn baseball. But many people, everybody knows that the Auburn-Georgia Tech rivalry is good, especially in baseball. And many people are asking for it to come back on the football side of things, just with all of the scheduling changes and the need to power to to schedule P4, or now P, whatever it is, competition. Is still P4, even with the Pac-12 coming back.
You say power conference.
Yeah, with yeah, the power 48 teams that you can choose from year after year. But no, I don't think many people realize how good this game is set up to be tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. Again, Auburn not in the NCAA tournament. They will, in fact, be in the NIT tournament. They will host a couple of games in the NIT tournament. They could host up to 3 games at Neville Arena starting tomorrow night against South Alabama. That's a 9 o'clock game. We will have the radio broadcast for you over on Wings 94.3. Baseball will be on there starting at 4, followed by basketball tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. So both baseball and basketball broadcasts will be on Wings 94.3 tomorrow. So look forward to that. Stephen Pearl met with the media earlier today. He met right at 2 o'clock. So unfortunately we could not be there, but some of our fellow media companions were there, and of course he talked about accepting the bid to the NIT tournament, and or I guess to the NIT, saying the NIT tournament is redundant. It's like saying the MLB league.
MLB baseball is
MLB baseball. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Major League Baseball baseball. The
it's National, like, you get it, but there's a little bit tournament of like, that is not correct.
Yeah, that is not correct. Stephen Pearl says, quote, "I'm here to coach basketball. The guys on my roster are here to play basketball. I'm not going to duck away from an opportunity to go compete. I'm not going to take my ball and go home just because we didn't make the tournament." He says, "Our goal is to make the NCAA tournament, but that didn't happen this year. But we have an opportunity to keep playing basketball. I'm ultimately of the mindset of, let's just go hoop." He also says that they have not met with the team yet today ahead of their practice, but right now there are no opt-outs for Auburn in the NIT tournament. He also says part of this decision was being around the guys that we want to come back next season. More practices, maybe some more games. So we'll see what that becomes. Your thoughts on what he had to say, and ultimately Auburn being the number one overall seed in the NIT.
Says exactly what you should say as a coach, and that's not a negative thing towards him at all. Just it's like when people were getting mad at him for vouching why Auburn should be in the tournament. Like, what do you expect a head coach to go and do?
Right? Sure.
I mean, there's not really a win-win with any sort of question like that, because if he defends what he wants to do, he's going to get blasted for it, and if he doesn't defend it, he'll get blasted for it. And so, I mean, I think what was said was what needed to be said, and you'll see now over the next couple of days what that NIT is going to look like, how the team goes out, battles, and responds, or if this just turns into a lack of care three-point contest, who can shoot it better from half court.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like here's my problem, and we have a phone call we're going to get to when we get back. We have several text messages we're going to get to when we get back as well. My thing is, and this may or may not be fair, but we tell it like it is, what's going to make this team that just folded down the stretch, what's going to make them get up and get excited for a game tomorrow night in the NIT if they couldn't do it when their actual season was on the line?
Right, that's what I'm saying. This Auburn team might shoot 64 threes tomorrow night.
So where's the benefit in that? Even if you change the
all of a sudden our defensive intensity is going to step up tomorrow night.
I just don't buy it.
No.
I don't buy it, but it is what it is. Several of you have texted us, and we want you to continue to do so. 334-784-1067. We also have a phone call that we're going to get to when we come back. We're continuing to talk Auburn basketball before Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us at 3:30. All that here during On the Line on ESPN 1067. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 1067. Couple of texts very quickly before we get to Lonnie all the way down in Lochapoca. Someone texted us in the text box, 334-784-1067, says the $25 a head, which is what it costs to get into the NCAA, or the, God, my brain is just...
Next.
$25 a person to get into the NIT tomorrow night inside of Neville Arena says it pays for NIL. Yes, but no at the same time, because a host school like Auburn, again, not every team gets to host games, Auburn being the number one overall seed, woohoo, they get to host games inside of Neville Arena where they will make some money off of ticket sales, of course, merchandising and food and concessions and things like that. So, the NIT makes money from the television deals being on ESPN, right, and radio and things like that. Then the host schools like Auburn get a kickback from that, plus they get, you know, stuff from, yes, some of the ticket sales and things like that. So
if it is a not – there is definitely a financial gain from this. Otherwise teams, especially like Auburn, would not do this. But if this is a deal for Auburn to get – $25,000 towards their NIL budget for basketball, I think there's bigger problems that need to be had and need to be addressed.
Yeah, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Auburn's not going to do this if they don't make money on it.
Sure.
But I'm with you. Yeah, if this is for a small advantage, then yes, there are bigger things to talk about. Speaking of talking, let's talk to this guy. Lonnie, all the way down to Lochapoca. How are you, my man? You staying warm down there?
Yeah, a little chilly, but it's kind of nice. It's probably going to be the last cold snap before spring, I'm hoping.
Yeah, and then you know how that goes. It'll go from spring to summer in about 8 days.
Well, I need it to be the last one. I'm ready to plant my tomatoes.
There you go.
Let me say this, guys. Well, let me ask this. Are they giving those tickets away for free tomorrow? Because they should.
Yeah, free for a small $25 fee.
Yeah, well...
Is that game's at 9 o'clock? Is that right?
9 o'clock tomorrow night correct. Inside the Neville.
Is it on the Cartoon Network?
It's on the Ocho, Lonnie.
On the Ocho?
Yeah. No, it is. It is ESPN2 at 9 o'clock Central Time.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, this season is over. Probably will be asleep by the time that game comes on tomorrow night, and don't know that I would watch it anyway. I'm fine with them taking the bid to the NIT. And Auburn did not deserve to be in the NCAA despite all the things I've read and seen the metrics and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot understand why Texas was put in.
There's Texas, and then there's also SMU that you feel like are in that same type of category that were in those major bubble conversations that Auburn was in, and Auburn's, again, taking the emotion out of it, leading in a lot of those categories.
Well, something else that I saw today, and I don't know, I just was able to get in and catch the show, so I don't know if you've talked about this or not. You realize there was only six teams of major programs, there was only six teams between that didn't make a bowl game in football, that didn't make the NCAA tournament for men's basketball or women's basketball. There were six teams total, only two in the SEC, and it was Auburn and Mississippi State have that honor. And what is the parallel between Auburn and Mississippi State? For anyone that knows.
Enlighten us.
Yeah, well, we know, but just in case we don't, Lonnie.
Mr. John Cohen.
Yep.
I mean, and look, I'm not saying the guy needs to be fired or anything like that, but some things have to change. Like, I'm very happy about baseball. I think this could actually be Butch Thompson's best team that he's had since he's been at Auburn. I'm hopeful of that. But he seems to be the only guy over there right now that's earning his salary. And, you know, I want Stephen Pearl's seat next year to be so hot that he can't sit down. And it needs to be. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I have some very serious doubts about our recruiting class in basketball based on what happened this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I have tried to give Bruce Pearl the benefit of the doubt on this, but at this point, a lot of this is his fault. It just is. I mean, I was happy to hear Stephen Pearl say that he realizes that he's the reason he got this job was mainly because of his dad. At least he admitted that and hopes that motivates him for next year.
And Bruce admitted it too.
Yeah. And I don't know if Bruce, if he's willing to get a little bit more involved. I don't know how that would work, or if he's just going to kind of completely let Steven have it. But just the way that whole thing went down, and then you look at this year, it's totally connected. It just is.
Yeah.
You can't convince me that we would not have won three or four more ball games if Bruce Pearl was the head coach.
Well, I mean, Bruce is a better head coach than Steven, and that's not anything crazy. Bruce has been doing it for decades, and Steven has 1 year now under his belt.
Exactly. So, hoping for the best on that, but, you know, y'all have fun either going to the game or watching the Cartoon Network.
Thanks, Lonnie. Appreciate your call, man. 334-321-1390. He mentioned recruiting. Did want to circle back to this. Auburn has one recruit signed for the 26 class, Caleb Williams.
Yeah. A big name that you...
Yeah, not the Caleb Williams, the other Caleb Williams. He's a three-star shooting guard, 6'5", 200 pounds from Tampa, Florida. So keep that in mind.
Lonnie, if you would like for me to double down on your happiness here this afternoon, looking at Power 4 teams combined football and basketball conference win percentage from this past year, I believe the next round posted this. Auburn's is 0.257, so they win about 26% of their conference games when looking at football and basketball over this past year.
Baseball's 100% this year.
Yeah, they are, baby.
Baseball's 100%. Yes. What a big series win that was. for Auburn baseball. We're going to talk about that when we come back with our man.
They got like a third of.
Yeah, they already won three games. Football and basketball won what? Like 15? Maybe? What was that? What is that number?
Football was what? 1-7?
Oh, or, God. Well, maybe. No, it was more than that. Basketball was 1.
Basketball was 7-11.
Oh, God. Baseball could get it done before. Baseball could do it in the first month of the year. Good Lord. We'll talk about Auburn baseball with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, plus basketball, softball, spring practice for football tomorrow as well. We got a lot to get to. He joins us next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate you being with us, and we also appreciate this guy for being with us, as he is every Monday at 3:30 from the Auburn Sports Network. He is Jacob Hillman with us on the phone lines. My man, it is good to talk to you, and based off my day today, I can only assume that yours has been even crazier with all the stuff going on right now.
Well, it just had to get one more freeze in this year, and right before or right after spring break and in the SEC tournament. Usually it's not like this, but here we are, and like you said, it's been a wild 24 hours or so for Auburn athletics.
What, you're not a cold guy? You're not a winter weather type of man?
We talk about how much I play golf. We stick to the warm weather around here.
Yeah, understandable. Well, you said it. There is a ton going on around Auburn athletics, and the conversation that, of course, has dominated our show today and will do so for the next several days is Auburn men's basketball, as the Tigers and Stephen Pearl in year one miss the NCAA tournament but accept their bid to the NIT. Let's talk about the NCAAs before we bring it back to the NIT. Your thoughts on Auburn missing the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2020?
Yeah, obviously disappointing, and in a year where the bubble was weak, and I think that Coach Pearl and this staff made a pretty good case for Auburn to get in, especially over some of the teams that did get in. But obviously the NCAA committee didn't see it that way, and that is what it is. I just feel like it seems like the loss is just stacked up a little too many towards the end of the year. And of course it's easy to go back and say, well, if Auburn had won this game or this game and do that exercise, then obviously all the Tigers would be in the field of 68 for this year. But obviously just disappointing to not be playing in the big dance a year after making the Final Four. And that's part of a rebuild and, you know, a new coach and a brand new roster. Part of it. And of course, now you have an opportunity to continue playing in the postseason, just in the NIT. And the Tigers are obviously looking ahead to more home games as well inside Neville Arena.
And so now with Auburn taking that NIT bid, what do you expect? And I don't mean this to be a question towards you that's impossible to answer, but in your mind, what is the true benefit for this Auburn team? What can they get out of playing in this NIT tournament? You mentioned inside Neville Arena, you get a couple of the guys that you're hoping to come back next year. What do you expect this Auburn Tigers team to try and gain over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, it starts exactly with that. Those guys that you want to bring back next year, of course, you have two guys in Keyshawn Hall and Keyshawn Murphy that have no eligibility left and will not be able to play after this season. And it'll be good for them to be able to play in the postseason with Auburn and try and win a championship. And beyond that, yes, it is absolutely about guys like Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton and Elijah Freeman and Sebastian Williams Adams and Philip Jovich and beyond those guys that have obviously been solidified in the rotation through the regular season and the SEC tournament. Those that are coming back and Auburn wants to come back in 2026 and 27, getting them to play as many games together as possible and letting the staff orchestrate more practices. And again, listen, you can't completely get to know a player in just one season. These guys develop, they're young men and they are continuing to grow. So it's very important to continue to get to know them as much as possible. And I'll tell you what, postseason basketball is the best way to do that. as far as the sport goes. And the tournament setting and doing it at home will be a huge benefit to Auburn, to especially, like I said, bringing those guys back. If you're able to run through the NIT and make a run to the championship and even win the championship, that's a huge momentum shift going into the offseason for this program.
We got our guy Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines, as he is every single Monday at 3:30. And Hillman, what is the easiest way, and it's such a difficult thing to ask now, and it's a difficult world to live in on the social media side of things, and by no means did Auburn make this decision based off of social media and based off of what is said or what is not said, but with it being the NIT and not the overall March Madness tournament, what is the easiest way for Auburn to block out all of the outside noise, and as you're mentioning, try and make a run deep into this championship run with the NIT?
Yeah, and something that shouldn't be taken the wrong way. Something I've always said is, one, social media is not real. Like, there a lot is going to be said on social media, and that is an opinion of many people, but it's not everyone. It's not every person in the world is on social media, or that's a part of the Auburn family or part of this fan base is on social media, and they can't put their opinion out there in that way. But I mean, you go back and look at the college football playoff selection, and when Notre Dame was left out, and it's the other way around, and them not participating in their bowl game and everything like that. And, you know, Coach Pearl, what he said today was he didn't want to just take our ball and go home after missing out on the NCAA tournament. He's here to coach basketball, and to have an opportunity in the NIT to continue doing that with this team, he's going to take that every single time. And they have this opportunity ahead of them, and the team wants to play, and they want to coach. And that's what's most important. So I'm glad to see these guys continuing to want to play and try and do make something out of this season. Obviously, a disappointing end to the year, but you can kind of, you know, I'm not going to say you can completely erase that, but you can at least make something out of it when things didn't quite go your way over the last few weeks of the season.
Wow, there's a lot of discussion on what Auburn basketball is doing or not doing. There's no debate on what Auburn baseball is doing, and that is winning games and doing it in dominant fashion. They go on the road, does Butch Thompson and his squad, and sweep Missouri in Friday and Saturday. Of course, the doubleheader Saturday because of the weather on Sunday. And it all starts with the guys on the mound. They continue to be maybe the most dominant rotation in the SEC, maybe even in the country as well. Jacob Hillman, what'd you see from Auburn baseball this weekend as they start SEC play 3-0 with the sweep of Missouri?
Well, yeah, you stated it right there. The pitching staff has just been absolutely incredible all season long, and Jake Marciano makes it a back-to-back SEC Pitcher of the Week honors for Auburn, and with Jackson Sanders winning it for his performance against Winthrop. And obviously Marciano, he should have had a complete game on Friday night if it weren't for some lighting issues at Taylor Stadium.
Did that go down? Hillman?
We'll sit on that right there. Yeah. And Marciano still was incredible in that outing. And he was alongside Jackson Sanders and Alex Petrovic. All three of those guys going 7-plus innings and striking out at least 7. It's the reason Auburn stayed in the game. And obviously, I think even in the non-conference, and especially early on the first couple of weekends, there was some talk about the offense and not getting going. And that appeared a little bit in the first two games of the offense not quite getting in a groove. And finally, in game three, the Tigers were able to open it up and put up a lot of runs. But this pitching staff, the fact it was able to hang in there and keep doing what it's been doing, it's exactly what this team has really been based on. I go back to the preseason when Coach Thompson and maybe his media availability right before the season or at some point he had the balloon and he said, you got to throw strikes. And it was a great analogy. It's just, hey, look, that's what you got to do. After last year where Auburn walked a ton of batters, you come in and you're just striking out guys left and right. And you look at the numbers, it was 5 total walks between the starting pitchers this weekend. That's going to win you a lot of baseball games.
Well, you mentioned it, Auburn 17-2, 3-0 in conference play, 11-2 at home, and a win streak of 10 and a row. They put all of those on the line tomorrow afternoon. We've been trying to hype people up, Mr. Hillman, because it's a game that people know a lot about with Auburn and Georgia Tech, but I don't think there's too many people that are aware of just how big of a game this is inside Plainsman Park tomorrow. The third-ranked team in the country comes to Auburn, who is the fourth-ranked team in the country. What do you want to see from Auburn in the midweek as you play Georgia Tech before a big-time series against Texas this weekend?
Well, you mentioned people don't realize how big of a series this entire week is. It's the one midweek tomorrow against Georgia Tech and then the series against Texas this weekend. But this is going to be the two highest ranked matchups in Plainsman Park history. So it's that big for this Auburn ball club and this program. And as it relates to the national landscape, with Auburn being in the top five and obviously both of these teams being in the top five, it will be critical for obviously Andreas Alvarez to come out and continue to do what he's been doing over these last few weeks. He had a tough go at it against Cincinnati in his first midweek start, but he has been lights out since then. And we talked about Marciano and Sanders and Petrovic. It's going to have to carry over into the midweek for Andreas Alvarez. And then obviously we need to see the bats pop up. Tomorrow is going to be, it's going to be unlike anything you see down the stretch of the season. With the weather, obviously the game being moved up to 4 o'clock, and it will still be in the 40s at that point. So it's going to be a different one, but it's going to be some adversity and a tough task ahead. So I'm excited to see what the Tigers can do in that situation. And then fortunately, you look ahead to the weekend, and the weather looks awesome for the Auburn and Texas matchup at Plainsman Park. So just really looking forward to it all. And there's so many great deals with Diamond Deal Days and everything going on that you should try and make Auburn baseball part of your day tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And even if you got to get out of work a little bit early.
Yeah, well, that's going on. And then you mentioned the big series coming up this weekend as well for Auburn baseball. But, man, there's a ton of other stuff going on around Auburn Athletics. Softball with an impressive but tough ending in Oklahoma, yeah. In Norman. Got a couple of national champions in track and field. And, I mean, you name it, there's something going on for Auburn Athletics. SEC championships coming up for equestrian in just a few weeks. I think the SEC championship for gymnastics is getting announced as we speak with the seed lines. I mean, tell people what else is going on around Auburn Athletics.
Yeah, we'll start with softball because you look at that, obviously it's a sweep. You get run ruled a couple of times, but in games one and two, Auburn had a lead. It was pretty deep into the game when the Tigers had a lead before Oklahoma kind of got in its groove on offense. That Sooners ball club is a team that reached 100 home runs in a season faster than anyone ever has in collegiate softball history. So for Auburn to kind of hang in there in those first two games and have a lead and jump on Oklahoma, it's disappointing they weren't able to finish at least one of those games. But I know this team is continuing to grow. It's a young group, and they'll be ready to go. And it's an interesting schedule if you look at the next couple of weeks with no SEC series this upcoming weekend. So the Tigers are going to have four non-conference opponents in the midweeks, but two this weekend and two the following week before getting back to SEC play against Missouri this week at South Alabama at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and then at home against Jacksonville State on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So they'll be looking to continue to bounce back and figure that out. And then, like you said, the track and field side, the men finishing fourth as a team with Jacoby Tharp and Ty and Sola Ajayi winning national titles individually. And Ajayi, he's setting collegiate records. Tharp's doing the same thing. Really impressive what Coach Leroy Burrell and this program continues to do. And it'll be interesting to see when we get into May how this team is continuing to grow and develop, because we've seen how close they've come to national titles at the outdoor championship over the last few years. So they'll be looking to target that and do the same when we get to that point. And then you got to look at the women's tennis and women's golf programs this past weekend. Women's tennis had two huge victories at home over number 11 Tennessee and then Kentucky, with that Kentucky one being a shutout. And then the women's golf program, they're at Old Barnwell in South Carolina for a match play championship, already defeated Alabama and number 16 Mississippi State. So kind of gearing up for postseason play and what's to come for that. So just like you said, a lot going on even now, just with everything going on. We'll go through the schedule now with baseball tomorrow at 4 o'clock against Georgia Tech, top five matchup. It'll be the highest ranked matchup in Plainsman Park history. We'll have coverage on Wings 94.3 FM and the Auburn Sports Network beginning at 3:45. Softball's at South Alabama at 5. And then late night tip for men's basketball in the NIT first round at 9 o'clock Central between Auburn and South Alabama. I'll join Andy Burcham and Randall Dickey on the call there. And then this upcoming weekend, it's Auburn baseball against Texas. Again, the highest ranked matchup in program history. So we'll set it tomorrow on Tuesday and then break that record again this weekend. That's Friday through Sunday with game times at 6, 6, and 2 Central. Coverage all weekend long, beginning 15 minutes prior to first pitch. And we'll sort through the details depending on men's basketball results as those come through.
Nicely done, sir. That was impressive. Did you have to be honest? Did you write all that out today, or is that all off the dome?
You know, listen, I've got some good notes from Andy Burcham, Voice of the Tigers, and obviously AuburnTigers.com has all the schedule laid out in front of you. If you just scroll down a little bit, there's a schedule that looks perfect and it's easy to read off of.
Well, we appreciate him. We appreciate you, my friend, for always taking the time to talk to us and informing the people of everything going on around Auburn Athletics. So enjoy the week, survive the week, and we'll do it again next Monday, okay?
That's right. Looking forward to it, guys. War Eagle.
Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network with us every single Monday at 3:30 here on ESPN 106.7. We will wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a good show today, man. We appreciate you being with us. We've had a ton of conversations on Auburn basketball, of course, as you can imagine, has been the focal point of our conversation with the Tigers missing the NCAA tournament and accepting their bid to the NIT. So we talked a lot about that, the pros and the cons, the good and the bad, the why and the how and the what and the who and whatever else you can think of. So that's been it for, the last 2 hours. So that's what you get with this program. So if you missed any of it, be sure to go back and listen to the podcast version of the show. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. We're also getting our Basketball Mayhem Challenge, getting that up and running. The bracket had a little trouble with it getting up there this morning, but should be good to go by tomorrow, so be sure you check that out as well. We'll plug that a little bit more on the show tomorrow, because we'll be filling out our brackets on the show tomorrow, and very excited for that. So we're going to start the show tomorrow. First 30 minutes, we'll dive into that baseball sweep of Missouri, right? We had it on the docket today. Figured there was a chance we didn't get to it, and understandably so. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Plus, we'll have our weekly sit-down with a member of Auburn Baseball. Still getting confirmation on that, so don't want to plug anything just yet. But we will have an interview tomorrow to start the show. Plus, talking about the series sweep for Auburn, previewing Georgia Tech, and also a little bit of Texas in there as well. And then the last 90 minutes of tomorrow's show is a bracket fill-in. We will be filling out our NCAA tournament brackets, and I guess now we got to make time to fill out NIT brackets.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll take a vote. If you'd rather us fill out NIT brackets tomorrow, you just let us know. You send us a text in the text box at 334-784-1067 and tell us which bracket you would rather us fill out tomorrow, the NCAA tournament or the NIT, and whichever one you tell us, we'll maybe or maybe not fill it out. So that is tomorrow on the show. Very excited for that. And also very excited for what Friday will be. Because on Friday, when the NCAA tournament tips off, of course, first four tomorrow, first four Wednesday, regular games Thursday and Friday. Once again, this year, ESPN 106.7 will be tipping off the tourney at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge this Friday, March 20th. It's all brought to you by Sensegreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. For air that's cool and clean, get HVAC smart and call Sensegreen. Join us for 7 straight hours of coverage for the NCAA tournament, starting at 11 a.m. with the Max Roundtable, followed by us for On the Line from 2 to 4 and The Drive from 4 to 6. Stop by for great giveaways from Sensegreen Mesa Green and ESPN 106.7. Drink specials from Plaza Bar and Lounge and a good time for everyone. So make sure to join us this Friday, okay? This Friday at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. All three shows are going to be there talking all things NCAA tournament. It's all brought to you by Sensa Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation.
And I'll let you get your final jab on the way out, because while we're on air on Friday, a team in the state will be playing their opening game in the NCAA tournament.
But will their starting point guard be there? The question that everybody's asking, and all Auburn fans seem to know the answer. Man, I'd put my house on it if I had one.
Jacob will bet you your brand new truck for his old truck.
You better believe I will. No, that's a serious situation going on in Tuscaloosa.
It is, very
Aiden
much so.
Holloway arrested on a Class C felony today in Tuscaloosa. Had his home or apartment raided. They found over a pound of marijuana. Also found some cash and other things. So a Class C felony of possession of marijuana, not for personal use. He was released on bond for $5,000. And, yeah, pretty serious stuff there. Also, what was the other one? It was the avoiding tax stamp or something like that.
Yeah, basically saying that he encountered these drugs illegally and did not have the license of selling.
And the approval of the state, basically. Right. Yeah, so I don't know what that's.
The under four media timeout's going to have to go without him.
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about that tomorrow, and if we have any updates as well. Plus, we will talk Auburn baseball and fill out our NCAA tournament brackets. All that on the show tomorrow. And again, we're live on location Friday. The Max Roundtable on the line and the drive. We'll all be there at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. Thanks to our friends at Sensa Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. We're back tomorrow. 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.